So I read the gospel today and I thought, maybe I'll pass on preaching. Would somebody like to preach all this thing about hate? And dear friends, Jesus is pushing us once more. This is one of those gospels where Jesus uses hyperbole. He means what he says, but not literally, for sure. Because he who is preaching love, he who is giving love to others, cannot ask us to literally hate. But Jesus is pushing us. Norman Vincent Peale, when he was, I think he's late now, when he was preaching, one of the inspiring things he said was, shoot for the moon. Shoot for the moon. And when you fail, you will land on the stars. And that means you will still be way, way up there, still brilliant, still shining. And that is exactly what Jesus is asking us, to shoot for the moon, even when we fail. And he knows that we are going to fail. Because when he was telling us this, he was at the same time telling his disciples, you will desert me. He was telling his pope, the first pope he chose, Peter, you will deny me three times. So he knew. He knew and knows that we are still weak, but he's pushing us to strive for excellence. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, my question is, how is that possible? The heavenly Father is God. I am not God. So how do you expect me to be perfect? And he goes on to say, if your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. Well, can you imagine what it will look like if we literally obeyed Jesus, chopping off any part that offends us? Dear friends, there will be nothing left. Jesus is pushing us to strive for excellence. Jesus is pushing us to strive for the best. Jesus is pushing us to strive for perfection. And when our human nature comes into play, there will be some failure for sure. But that failure will not be damaging. That is what we take away from the gospel today. And that is why we need the wisdom of the first reading to discern exactly how to strive for that excellence. To discern exactly why Jesus would ask us to give up everything. And also to answer the very important question. In our interaction with our God, does our God have a right to ask us to give up everything? Since he has created us with reason, he has created us with strength, he is the one who pours all these gifts upon us, why would the same God ask us to give up everything? And so two questions. First of all, what is the cost of discipleship? And the cost is simply the answer that Jesus gave. Everything. The cost of discipleship is everything. But what is the cost of salvation from the God who is asking us to give up everything? What is the cost that he paid for our salvation? We just need to look up, dear friends, at the picture we see every time we walk into this church. Did Jesus, who is asking us to give up everything, did he give up everything for our salvation? And the answer is yes. In Paul's beautiful hymn to Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 downwards, he said, have the attitude of the same Lord Jesus Christ, who is asking you to give up everything, who, even though he was in the form of God, he emptied. The word Paul used was emptied himself. To become like us, taking the form of slaves. And even when he was found in human form, he did not stop there. He climbed the wood of the cross. Let us think, for example, for a few minutes, what happened on Calvary, which was what John wrote to us. He said, this is the account of an eyewitness, one who was there. I am writing so that you might believe, because this was what he saw. John's standing right beside the centurion. When we, you and myself, let us not accuse the centurion or anybody else. When you and myself had finished crucifying our Savior, we did not stop there. He had already emptied himself of his divinity to cloud it with our human nature. But when we destroyed that human nature, Isaiah chapter 52 from verse 14 downwards, he said, by the time we were done brutalizing him, he was no longer good to look at. But then we did not stop there. we pierced his side with a lance, and what came out? Blood and water. And when you injure someone, those in the medical field, I stand to be corrected, when water begins to flow out, that means blood is no longer there. He has given everything, and he had to give even the water in his body. Yes, indeed, the price of salvation was everything, is everything, and will continue to be everything. Every time we offer the sacrifice of the Mass, we remember what the one who is asking us to give up everything gave up for us. He gave up everything. But we do not have to be physically brutalized. We do not have to physically sell our property. Because I'm thinking, if we sell everything we have, who are we going to give it to? Because the fact of evangelization is to bring others into the fold. So are we going to give it to those who don't want to come into the fold of being disciples? Not at all. Jesus is simply telling us that as soon as we discover that it is mother or father or brother or sister or even our own possession, our talents, our riches, our looks, everything that we own, as soon as we discover that these are the things, or this is the thing preventing me from being a true disciple, that is when we need to rethink. That is when we need to step back. It sounds very harsh, but it is true. There are times when it is father or mother or brother or sister who is an obstacle to us being true disciples. I'll give one example. I was doing juvenile ministry somewhere, and one of the little kids who was about to go out, I was making arrangements for him to go to a halfway house and everything. And he told me, he said, "Father, I'm not sure I'm going to survive this. I think I'm going to come back here in a few months' time." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If this house, halfway house, does not work, I am going to go back to my family. And this is how we live. As long as you will be under that roof, you will do drugs. You will sell drugs. You will be in danger." He said, "I may be back here in a few months' time." His parents, his brothers, everyone is doing drugs. They are the obstacle to his being a disciple. Because I tell you, this young man was sincere. He found Jesus in that juvenile detention center. He asked for baptism. I had to write to the bishop to baptize, confirm, and give him communion. Every time I was there, he would be there for Mass. He was reading his Bible. He wanted to transform his life. But family was an obstacle. I don't know what happened to him. I pray that somehow he got out. But there was nothing he could do. I think he was 16 or 17. No one is going to sign him any lease. He doesn't even have money to have his own house. How is he going to get a job? He's trapped in that vicious circle. I hope and pray that that man has found salvation somewhere, that someone has helped him. But this is just a typical example of how family can be an obstacle to discipleship. And so we need to ask ourselves, dear friends, what is it that is preventing me from being a true disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ? As soon as we discover that, let us step back and step away. If we can change that circumstance, thanks be to God. If we cannot, let us remind ourselves that the salvation of the soul is the first rule. Peace be with you.